Good morning, everybody. It's Jeff Goldberg for the Sales Pro Network. It is Friday, April 12th. We're in Q2 already, and I am excited. Why? Because we're on the Sales Pro Network. And if you haven't joined us before, I'm a sales coach and trainer. I work with both individuals and organizations internationally to help them do one thing and one thing only: get measurable and sustainable sales increases. And I founded the Sales Pro Network a little over 3 years ago to elevate the profession of sales and to help you serve more people and earn more money. And if you've joined us before, you know that every Friday at 10 a.m. Eastern, we either do a live training or I bring you a great guest who can add value to the profession of sales. And I've done it again, my friends. Once again, I brought you somebody fantastic. Today's guest helps individuals that are tired of not doing what they know they need to do, what they're supposed to be doing. She's an international leadership coach, a trainer, and a speaker with a passion for helping people fulfill their true potential. Please help me in welcoming Patty Johnston. Good morning, Patty.
Good morning, Jeff. Hello, everybody. It's such a joy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to be talking with you. I don't think I'm the only one that's pretty interested in hearing what you have to say about procrastination. Before we get into the specifics, though, Patty, you had some natural challenges. You're a single mom with ADD and dyslexia and a self-proclaimed born procrastinator, by the way, pretty sure I am too. But you developed a system based on emotional intelligence, neuroscience, and accountability that changed your life. Before we get into procrastination and how to stop it, tell us about your life previous to now, previous to what you're doing now. What brought you up to this point? What were you doing before this?
Oh my goodness, Jeff. So this is the story of my life, okay, in a couple of minutes. I was literally born a procrastinator. I was born late, like 2 days later than I was supposed to be born. And my parents are like really, really disciplined, very clean. And my sister, she thinks she's perfect. But she is not perfect. She is almost perfect. And me, I was like the opposite. I would forget my homework. I would be late every time. I have like my little assistant in the background. I would be, brain scattered. And then my parents used to say to me, especially my dad, "Oh my goodness, Patty, what's going to happen with you in your life? You are completely a mess." You know, it was so bad that one time we were in a dinner table and I spilled my milk. I used to be a bit clumsy. And my dad looked at me and he said, "Patty, I just don't see a future for you. I hope you get a good husband someday because I don't know what's going to happen." I was 10 years old, Jeff. And at that point, I thought there has to be something really, really wrong with me. And on top of that, my dad is a good dad. He just didn't know any better. On top of it all, I just got pregnant when I was a teenager. So my parents were like, "Oh my goodness, now you've ruined your life. What's going to happen to you?" So I came to the U.S., thankfully, as a single mom. My son was 3 at the time. And I just got a job because I needed to survive. But I was underpaid. I was working long hours. And I knew exactly what to do, but I didn't do it. I was like, my favorite word used to be mañana, tomorrow. "Oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, no, next week. Oh, no, next year is my year." It was just a tactic of delaying and avoiding the pain of doing the things that I knew I was supposed to be doing. So I got tired. I got tired of that. And I decided to study psychology just to fix myself. And I discovered that procrastination is not linked to lack of time. We all have time. But procrastination is directly linked to emotions. Procrastination is directly linked to emotions. When we're afraid, we don't act. When we feel overwhelmed, we paralyze. When we're anxious, when we're angry, we start not doing things, angry at ourselves or angry at other people. All of those negative emotions do have an influence in what we do or don't do. So I decided back then, enough is enough. Either my life changes or I'm going to be in the same place that I don't like for many years. So I decided to create a system that will help me be aware of the emotions, overcome negative emotions. Neuroscience, we'll talk about it a bit later. And then it worked. You know, I took 30 days intentionally to change my patterns. And after these 30 days, I thought, you know what? I feel strong now. I'm going to open my own company. And I had $2,000. I had saved, you know, I was a single mom from Colombia, ADD, mild dyslexia. And I just opened my own company with $2,000. And I sold it, Jeff, 18 months later for $500,000. I couldn't believe it. You know, I've never seen that much money altogether. I come from a very, you know, normal, not very wealthy family. I had to beg for shoes growing up. And then all of a sudden, I have all this money. So I opened up my second business, and it was in sales. So I know exactly, you know, the limitations and the self-sabotage in sales, because I used to wake up every day and say, you know what, I'm going to contact five different people today, five potential clients. But deep inside, I was afraid of rejection. I didn't want them to think, oh, Patty's so pushy, or here we go again, it's Patty, and or not answer my call. So I was like, okay, yes, I'm gonna do it. But before, let me check social media really quick. And I'll be like, oh my goodness, so-and-so got married? And they didn't invite me. I cannot believe it. So I would be like, who went? Click, 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 click. Just to find myself for a couple of hours looking at pictures or checking the profile of the grandmother who I've never met in my life, wasting my time. But what I was doing is I was replacing the pain of rejection for pleasure. So the problem is pain, anxiety, then pleasure, and then it comes in guilt. Because even if you know exactly what to do, you still don't do it. And that was what I would call the cycle of procrastination. So I was doing the cycle over and over again. And at the end, if you do it many times, you become angry. Angry at yourself, because how is it possible that knowing exactly what to do, you still don't do it? So anyway, I was able to implement my system in my sales, and my second business I sold for even more money than the first business. And I'm going to tell you something funny, Jeff. When I sold my second business, my dad called me. And you know what he said? He's like, Patty, I've always believed in you. I was, no, Dad, you didn't. Anyway, I just said.
Is that the same father who told you you needed to go find a good husband?
Yes, 100%. You know, our memories are completely opposite. But you know what? It's okay. He's very proud. And what he doesn't know is I had to work very, very hard with all of the things that were told to me growing up, that I was not able, that I was not good enough, that I would never make it, and work on that and my own perception of self. The things that I knew, you know, like I knew I did have this potential, but I was like God-given potential, but I was like 40% in my potential. I'm like, there has to be something done about it. And then, so I created a system and now a program called How to Stop Procrastinating in 30 Days, because not only has worked for me, but I've had hundreds of students that come through my program and it works. That's, I found that. A solution.
I love that, Patty. And I got to tell you, as you were saying, you know, yeah, I'm going to reach out to five people today, but first I'm going to check social media and then going down the rabbit hole. I was thinking, yeah, Patty's the only one that ever happens to. I mean, I'm looking at the comments. People are saying, oh, you were even born late. Laugh out loud. And, I'm the biggest procrastinator out there. And by the way, I do the same things. You know, I coach people like you do. We work in different areas, but you know, I'm often giving people advice and going, wow, I should be doing that too. You know, it's like, the carpenter whose house is falling apart or the shoemaker who has no shoes. But
yes.
How do you actually define procrastination? What is procrastination and why do we actually procrastinate?
Yeah. So basically what the dictionary says is that procrastination is the action of postpone or delay an action. Postpone or delay something that you must do. Could be getting calls from, you know, potential clients, or exercising, or waking up on time, or going to bed on time, or being organized in your house or finances, is postponing. But more than anything, procrastination is an avoidance strategy. Procrastination is an avoidance of pain, of the pain that you're facing by doing certain action. Like the example I gave, I was supposed to call my clients, but it was a painful thing because deep inside I didn't want to feel rejected. So I was avoiding that action. Or for example, I need to clean the garage because it's a mess. I don't want to do it. So it's a pain. So first I'm like, okay, let me go and take a look at the plants, or let me just go and talk to my mom. You know, it's an avoidance strategy. And the reason we do it is because we're protecting ourselves
from that pain.
Absolutely. It's a, you know, we're trying to keep the comfort in our lives. It's just easier.
So it's
to
like, I know I want to lose weight, but I'll start tomorrow because I'd rather eat and feel good today. When it doesn't, it only makes you feel good very temporarily, but it's that 100%. Putting it off, right?
Yes, 100%. So you're just trying to avoid the pain of having to wake up, having to do the exercise, having to call the clients. So you choose to stay in the comfort zone. And the problem with that is not only we choose to stay easy and doing nice things that bring pleasure, but we lie to ourselves. We bring up an excuse and then we say to ourselves, oh, I'm just too busy. Oh, it's just like, I'll do it tomorrow because today is Friday. You know, I'm going to go see my friends today. So I'm not going to start the diet today. I'm going to start Monday. Oh, well, it's too late. I didn't have time to call these people. And so I'll just do it on Monday, 8 a.m. And 8 a.m., you didn't wake up on time. And 8 a.m., you didn't do it. And 9 a.m., you're just checking again social media. It's a cycle. And the good news is that you can break this cycle. There's a way to break it up.
Patty, are there different types of procrastinators, or is it just we just keep putting stuff off?
No, it's very interesting because they're actually very different styles. And I'm gonna tell you the five, okay? So the first style of procrastination is the perfectionist. Perfectionists are like, oh, I'm not going to do it until it looks good enough, until it's perfect. So those are the people that, you know, I have clients that come to me like, I have a website, but it haven't been launched because it's still not good enough. Or my email is not good. So they erase it and rewrite it several times. And at the end, they don't do it. Or launch a business, but oh my goodness, I'm not really sure if it's good. Or, you know, a lot of people struggle with social media, doing videos or doing posts because they think, oh, it's not really good. How are people going to judge me? Am I going to look pretty enough or good enough? So perfectionists get stuck in the work of doing the task, but they never actually launch it or execute it. So I don't know if you guys listening out there, I used to be a little bit of a procrastinator in the perfectionist realm. So that's the first one. And that's very common.
By the way,
common.
Patty, I often put things off because I say I'm not pretty enough.
And that's a lie.
What's the second part?
The second one is called the daredevil. Oh my goodness, I was the queen of daredevils. The daredevil is the person that has 1 month to have a project. 1 month. When do they do it? The night before, of course. You have 30 days to complete something. There you go. That used to be me. You have a credit card payment and you're at the last minute. Oh my goodness, I haven't paid this. You have an appointment 30 minutes away and you leave at the house 20 minutes before because I'm going to make it. So daredevils are the ones that leave everything to the last minute. And they come to me and they're like, oh, Patty, I just work really well under pressure. No, that is a lie that you tell yourself. It's just an excuse. So that's it. First, perfectionist. Second, daredevils. Third, the chickens. I love the chickens because they come to me, and the chickens are the doers. They're very, very busy. And they come to me, it's like, Patty, of course I'm not a procrastinator. Look at me. I'm busy all the time. So yes, they're very busy, but they don't know how to prioritize. So they keep busy with the tasks that are easy to accomplish, but they avoid the ones that are actually significant.
So that's the people who are busy but not productive.
Busy but not productive. And the problem with that is just that they do have an excuse. Oh, well, I'm very busy. How am I going to accomplish this? I'm looking at me. I don't have time. But reality is they would have time to tackle the most important task. It's just that they choose to go for the easy ones to appease themselves and to look good before others. So yes, even if you're too busy, even if you don't stop, you can be a chicken, a procrastinator style. So that is number three. So perfectionists, daredevils, chickens. The fourth one are the ostrich. The ostrich are the dreamers, the avoidance. The ostrich are millionaires in their own mind. Oh, I have this amazing project. I have, I was in real estate sales, so I have a $5 million deal. It's about to become, but they don't call the client, but they don't execute. They have lots of plans in their mind, but they don't execute because they're afraid of failure. They're afraid of risks, and they try to protect themselves. So even though they have big dreams, they don't have any actions.
So that's back to emotions.
100%. And gotcha. Each one of these styles, by the way, the root is in emotions. The perfectionist, they're afraid of failure, or they're afraid of judgment from others. The chickens are afraid of reality of, what if I do tackle the right ones, then what's going to happen? Avoidance. The daredevils, believe it or not, even though the daredevils, what I used to be one, it's like, oh, we try to be cool. And look at me. I can do it all. And it works most of the time. And that's a problem. Then we believe, we don't want to be boring. But deep inside, there's a big sense of anxiety and stress. Daredevils have high stress because things work at the last minute. So anyway, perfectionist, daredevil, chicken, ostrich, and last but not least are the self-saboteurs. Self-saboteurs are those people, me, I used to be one, that know exactly what to do, and they either don't do it or do the opposite. Know exactly what to do and either don't do it or do the opposite. Listen to this. I remember I was in New York City years ago, and I was just starting my coaching. And I just met at a hotel this high executive of a company. And he's like, oh, my goodness, I need a coach. Give me your business card because I need to see your website. I didn't have a website at that point. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, how am I going to introduce myself? Long story short, I never reached out to him. I lost his card. And then I said to myself, well, I don't know where the card is, but too bad I lost it. I self-sabotaged myself because I was afraid of him finding out that I didn't even have a website. It was black. It was fear. So either you don't do what you're supposed to be doing, or you do the opposite. And I'm going to tell you what, the self-sabotagers are the fears root on self-esteem, self-perception. We get what we think we deserve. We get what we think we deserve. I never thought in my life that I would say I could achieve millions. I didn't think so. I was a little Colombian girl growing up, asking for new shoes.
But then you were told you were never going to amount to anything.
Absolutely not. How would I just do anything good? I was just like, no future for me. So I had to go into the root of the why I was self-sabotaging so that I could heal and then move on.
I got it. Patty, you say that procrastination can crush your dreams. Why is that?
Because, you know, we've been told, and then this is very controversial. People say, and, you know, social media and today is very well accepted that if you have big dreams, they're going to happen. You just dream big and yes, that's it. You think positively and it'll come to happen. And I actually have an uncle that a few years ago, he said, I'm going to be a millionaire. And he wrote a $1 million check and he put it up in his ceiling. So every time he would go to sleep, he would look at the $1 million check. And then next day he would wake up the first thing. And he's like, because he read a book that said, if that's what you do, that's it. Guess what?
It's the secret. The law
yes,
of attraction.
I didn't want to say it. But this is what happened. He didn't take action, the right action to make that dream come true. So it just stayed in a dream. Reality is dreams are good, but action is better. Dreams are good, but action is better. Reality is action brings abundance. Action brings abundance. Dreams don't.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the law of attraction. And I do believe you have to think the right thoughts and feel the right feelings, but nothing happens without
that enough. Absolutely.
You've got to be in action.
Yes, completely agree.
Yep. You mentioned something before. I work better under pressure. I've said that a gazillion times about me. What are some of the other things that procrastinators say to themselves that might indicate that they're a procrastinator?
Oh, absolutely. I just don't have time. I just don't know if I'm ever going to make it. I'm not good enough. And these are things that they don't tell to people, but they say it to themselves. It's been like this forever. How am I going to have an opportunity if I am white, black, Latino, tall, short, whatever?
The world is against me. Somebody like me can't do it. So we have great reasons and excuses.
Absolutely. Listen, I used to say, you know, I have an accent, obviously.
Really?
Yeah. I'm so confused. I'm Colombian, American, Australian, believe it or not. And I used to think I could not succeed here because of my accent. I used to believe nobody will take me seriously because I spoke differently. And I believed it until I thought, what do I mean? That I think it's a cute accent. Maybe it's not cute. I think it's cute. But you see, it started with my own mindset. It started with, this is not going to stop me. Whoever likes me the way I am, amazing. Whoever doesn't like me, it's okay. It's not my concern anymore. And this is the reality, Jeff. A lot of procrastination comes from fear of judgment from others. Fear of not being liked, not being accepted, of not looking good enough, of failing in front of others, even failure of succeeding, because what are people going to say? So the truth is, until, and this is kind of what my principle is, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my secrets, okay? So to change procrastination. So secret number zero is you need to be honest. You need to be honest with yourself. You have no idea how many people come to me and they're like, Patty, it's bad, but I'm surviving. It's bad, but not that bad. It's bad, but. So if you still have a but, you're not going to be able to change, because you cannot change what you don't acknowledge. So that's one. Secret number zero, one, would I tell my people, secret number one is, in order for you to change anything, you need to know why you're doing it in the first place. In order to change anything, you need to know why you're doing it in the first place. I had an uncle last year, and he had a headache for 40 days. And we're like, go to the doctor. And he's like, no, it's okay. I've been having painkillers. And he went to the doctor, And the doctor didn't say, oh, no, just continue with, you know, the painkillers. He's like, no, let's do a brain MRI or a scan and blood test, because the doctor needed to find the real reason behind his headache for him to be able to fix it, to fix the pain. And it's exactly the same thing with procrastination. We need to find the real reason why you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. We've been told, oh, no, don't worry, just get a calendar, have a planner, block hours of the day. And that's good. I mean, they're good tools. The reality is, if you don't feel like doing it, you're not going to do it. So if you're not feeling like doing things, what's the real reason? Most of the reasons comes from negative emotions, childhood. You know, I don't know you, Jeff, but I didn't have the perfect family. And a lot of the things that I experienced growing up showed up as an adult. So until we go back and open that and find out what is it that's bothering us, only then we can change it.
Mm. That's amazing. Patty, my children have the perfect family, but I did not like you. I also did not have the perfect family. And I have to tell you, the accent, it doesn't seem to have hurt Sofia Vergara. She seems to be
exactly.
Yeah, she's pretty well with that accent.
Exactly. Hold on just 1 second, Jeff. You know what? What happens is, once you embrace who you are, once you embrace who you are, and you don't have to make excuses for that, then you're confident enough to make things happen.
Mm. My friends and I, when we were late high school, early college, adopted an attitude, which is F them if they can't take a joke. Meaning, like me, great. You don't like me, that's okay too. I want to be loved. I want to be liked. I want to be admired and all that stuff. But if I'm not your cup of tea, so what?
Next.
So what? I don't need everybody to like me. I don't need everybody to love me. I just need enough people.
Yes.
And the truth is, I don't really care. I mean, I'd like it, but I don't care. I've got too many other important things to do and to take care of, and my three children and my business and my dog and all kinds of things that if I have to sit and worry about whether you like me or not, I'm never going to get anything done.
100%.
And, you know, like you, I stand in front of people and give talks, and I'm a stand-up comedian. So, I mean, that's kind of a desperate plea for love, but you either like it or you don't. You like the joke or you don't. So I can't waste time. Something I found as I get older and older, and boy, I'm getting older by the second, is life is short. I mean, when you're 10, it seems like life is forever. And when you're 20 too, but not at my age. I've got a big birthday coming up in less than 30 days. And man, oh man, life is short. You got to take advantage of every second. By the way, there's some great comments. And John Hill, the trade coach wants to know if he could use you in a trade show. I guess I'm going to have to introduce the two of you.
I would love that.
I will make an introduction.
Thank you.
Let's see. We'll take a 60-second break for a word from our sponsor, which is me. Then we'll be back with Patty Johnston, an expert in procrastination.
Hi, I'm Jeff Goldberg, the founder of the Sales Pro Network. For nearly 5 decades, I've been selling, managing, coaching, and training salespeople internationally. And I'm often asked for one-on-one or private coaching, but it does involve a substantial investment. For that reason, I've recently developed the Sales Pro Insider Network community. It works like this. We get together twice a month on Tuesday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Eastern. At the first session of the month, it's you and me, with me taking your questions and giving you the advice and help you need to both prospect and sell more effectively. At the second session of the month, we'll have a guest coach speaking on a fascinating topic that helps sellers like you and me. And of course, we'll do group coaching then too. The best part is the investment is just $27 for the first month, and there's no long-term contract at all. In fact, you can cancel at any time. Go to crushsalesgoals.com. That's crushsalesgoals.com. I hope to see you there.
So this month's guest coach, I'm very excited. I'm going to get Patty back to be a guest coach for us one of these months. But this one is Beth Granger. She's a LinkedIn expert. She's going to be talking on Tuesday the 23rd at 6 p.m. Eastern about how to find more prospects and close more business using LinkedIn. And if you're listening to this podcast or watching us live, if you either email me at jeff@jgsalespro.com or you DM me through our Facebook group, I'll be happy to give you a free pass to come in and check it out. And we're back with Patty Johnston, a world-class expert on procrastination. I'm getting so much out of this already, Patty. One of the things you help people work on is emotional intelligence. And that's a term we hear all the time, but I'm not sure everybody understands what it is. Could you define EI for us and explain to us what it is and why it's so important?
Absolutely. So let me go back one step. Let's start with a lie that we were told for many, many years. So there's something called IQ, intelligence quotient. And we were told, oh, if you have a high IQ, that you're going to succeed. My goodness, it's not true. You can have the highest IQ and still not do well. And at school, we were measured by IQ. And the bad thing about IQ is that if you are smart from the being born, then you're amazing. If not, then it's too bad. You cannot change it. But there have been studies that there's something called EQ, emotional intelligence, and it's been proven that emotional intelligence, and I'm going to explain a little more what it is, success is based 85% on EQ, emotional intelligence, and not IQ, as we were told before. 85% of our success basically is in our own hands, because we can actually develop EQ, emotional intelligence. So it was like mind-blowing for me. It's like, okay, so if this is it, let me explore what it is. So basically, emotional intelligence is divided on four quadrants. So the first one is self-awareness of emotions. We were told, you're sad, you're happy, you're tired, you're angry. But there's actually a big hundreds of emotions that we experience during just one day alone. But because we're too busy and this world is full of distractions, then we avoid looking at what emotions we're experiencing. And because we don't really know exactly what's happening, then that shows up in our day-to-day actions. So the first part of emotional intelligence is self-awareness, awareness of our own emotions. Hmm. The second part is
One second, Patty. Isn't it also true that sometimes we just don't want to deal with the emotions, which is why people use drugs and alcohol and eating and things like that, because it's a way of not having to deal with the uncomfortable emotions.
Absolutely. And I'm going back to our example of social media. That is just to forget about what we're feeling. Forget about the disappointment.
Much more fun to do that than 100%. Face the possible rejection of reaching out to a prospect and hearing no.
Yes.
By the way, I have to tell you something, because you said it a moment ago. I don't actually know how old you are, but I know you're way younger than I am. And back when I was in school, we used to take an IQ test, and the teacher would never, ever tell you what your IQ was. But my mom used to get called into school constantly because I was a talker, as if you can't figure that one out. Never shut my mouth up. And one time she came in and I actually saw my report, and my IQ was extraordinarily high. And in third grade, I stopped doing homework. Now, that meant that my entire school career, I didn't get good grades. Smart, but it didn't do anything for me.
Absolutely.
Just being smart, being able to figure stuff out, doesn't mean you're going to be successful. Knock on wood, I do okay, but it wasn't because of my IQ.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you something even stranger, because people with high IQ can coast through life easily, you know, like even if I didn't study, I would just do okay. Or if I forget the homework, then I still, you know, would do okay. Then high IQ people tend to be procrastinators, because they don't need to do much effort, or just do it at the last minute and still get a good grade, or still, you know, doing the project at the last minute.
I don't know if anybody else listening to this is feeling this, but it's like you're just talking directly to me, Patty.
Yeah, because
thank you for the therapy session.
My pleasure. Actually, I used to be the same, exactly the same. And I felt proud of it. You know, like, look at me, I didn't study and here you go. But reality is, it was affecting me. And the stress and my, you know, productivity and the results, they were not great. They were good, but they were not my best. So yes, IQ is related to procrastination. And then EQ has been proven to be, one, self-awareness of emotions. Second, not only to be aware of emotions, but self-management of emotions, or self-regulation of emotions. Meaning, when we have the knowledge and the courage to look at what's happening in our heart, in our minds, then either we just say, oh, well, I feel so disappointed. Let me go to sleep. Well, let me watch Netflix for a few hours. Or we learn how to manage those emotions. In a way, you know, my life used to be like, I'm happy, I'm sad, I'm angry, my call didn't go well, so let me go. It was full of ups and downs. And I learned through emotional intelligence to regulate my emotions so my days are more in control. So once you're aware of your emotions and you're in control of your emotions, not the other way around, not the emotions controlling you and your day and your relationships and your life, then of course you're going to have better results. Of course you're going to feel like doing things. Of course you're going to have better relationships, not only at home, but professional relationships. So that's the first part of emotional intelligence, self-awareness and self-regulation.
Much like IQ, not being able to self-regulate your emotions can get in the way, but not necessarily, right? I mean, if you take a look at the last president of the United States, here's a guy who can't regulate his emotions at all, but like him or not, he's been pretty darn successful so far. He may not be going forward, but he's been pretty darn successful.
Absolutely. But what we don't know, or maybe we know, is relationships around these type of people are very poor because it's their way or their highway. So it works in certain things, but is it really a fulfilling all around successful life? We don't know. I know that for people like regular people like us, bad relationships affect the way we perform. But emotional regulation will affect every single aspect of our lives. Mm. So self-awareness, self-regulation. Next, the social part, relating with others. So I don't know if you know, Jeff, but we cannot control anybody. Trust me, I've tried. So the emotional intelligence part with others is not being able to control their emotions, but to learn first to be aware of other people's emotions. And this with sales is so key because, you know, people have fear when they're buying things, right? It's part of the objections is based on fear, fear of commitment, fear of just, oh my goodness, all this money or not, you know, they're afraid.
Fear of making a mistake.
Absolutely. Or looking bad. Oh, did you buy this? You know, I still have, you know, people that are like, oh, I bought this program, you know, 2 years ago and it was something I didn't like. So they're afraid of making a new commitment. So the importance of reading, or for us reading emotions from others, is that we know how to not only read them, but to accommodate to their needs, to their emotions. In sales, once we know exactly what's happening with them, then we can just see how we can address their doubts and their objections. So that's one.
Wait. I can't resist because I love what you just said. You know, I wasted a lot of time trying to fix other people, thinking, oh, you know, I'm terrific. Let me just fix everybody else in the world. including my ex-wife, which I should not have been doing, but I had the great good fortune to work with an amazing coach. I call her a super coach. Her name is Liz Bentley. And if there's one thing she taught me, it's this: you can only fix the person in the mirror.
That's it.
What's the fourth quadrant?
And I was going to say something related to that. I tell my clients this: we're learning about principles. This is not a prescription. Because if you tell somebody you must, they won't. You have to, they resist, because we're selfish human beings and we want to be in control. So that's how it is. So be aware of other people's emotions and to be able to learn how to respond to those emotions. To be aware of their emotions and for us to be able to respond to those emotions, because we cannot control them. How are we going to react to somebody who's afraid? How are we going to react to somebody who's angry or disappointed? And reality, we talk about, you know, the consequences of our upbringing, our childhood trauma. most people have childhood trauma, and they just show up in a different way. So for us, emotional intelligence is an art on understanding first our own emotions, but to understand other people's emotions, and that's what's going to help us just deal with them.
Gotcha. Wow. So you say there are excuses or triggers for procrastination. How do we discover what our excuses or our triggers actually are?
Yeah, so triggers is what takes us to that negative feeling that will take us into no action. For example, because my dad used to be so harsh on me, I was afraid of criticism. I was afraid of people thinking that I was not going to make it. And not because I didn't think I was not going to make it. It's because it triggers some memories that I had, some trauma that I was having growing up. So the thing is, we need to take some time to discover what triggers our negative emotions. And it's very interesting, Jeff. I love being here because you're such a great host. It's true. I'm a bad liar. So I wouldn't say this if I didn't really think it. But I get a lot of interviews where they say, tell me just one tip that people can do for them to stop procrastinating. And the reality is, this is not a tip-based strategy. This is not like, wake up on time. No, that doesn't work like that. This is a process. Finding about our triggers, that's why my program is 30 days, because you need to be intentional about finding from the past what's triggering you into anxiety, into anger, into, you know, fear, whatever the negative emotion is. So it's basically break it down through with the help of an expert. I've been in therapy on and off for years and years. And that was good. I mean, I love therapy, but it's 1 hour a week. This is something that needs to be so intentional that you just work on it for a certain period of time. In my case, 30 days. So it's basically going back and unpack what's been happening in our lives and why are we here. So the triggers are related to the excuses, because once we get triggered with a negative emotion, then we'll come up with an excuse. Oh, well, you know, I don't have time, or this is really not good for me. I didn't even want to have that job anyway. Mm. You know, we come up with the things just to protect ourselves. So the answer to that question is, it takes work and it takes a professional to show us the way to do it. And it's a decision, you know, it's not only, oh my goodness, I'm procrastinated. Oh, well, it's what are we going to do about it? It takes an action. Because action will cost, right? Action will cost time, effort, money. But the cost of not doing anything is definitely much more expensive. So it starts with just one action.
And it takes commitment, like anything else. Want to lose weight? Want to have the relationship of your dreams? It all takes commitment. Because in my coaching practice, where I coach salespeople, you know, I hear a lot of people saying things like, "I want to make a lot of money," or "I want to be successful." And my answer is always this: I don't care what you want. I don't care what your hopes are. I don't care what your dreams are. I don't care what your wishes are. As a human being, I care about all those things. But as your coach, I only care about one thing: what are you committed to? Because commitment drives everything. If you're committed to losing weight, you lose weight. If you're committed to being successful, you get successful. You find a way. And I think you're talking about the same thing here, right? It's you make the decision, you make the commitment, you invest the time, and that's where you figure out what's driving you and how you can fix it. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I'm going to tell you something else. Like everything, every action brings something else, or lack of action. Like if you feel bad about yourself, then you don't do what you're supposed to be doing. But because you didn't do what you're supposed to be doing, then you feel worse about yourself. And then you do less. So it's a downward spiral. But it's the opposite. If you do something good, it's like, oh, I can do this. And then you are more energized to do the next thing. And then the next one and the next one. So absolutely takes commitment to the first step is the most important. Make the call. Just sign up for the program. Just do after that. It takes less and less effort.
I always say the same exact thing. It's hard to get going. It's easier to keep going, but it's like going to the gym, which I don't like to do, by the way. I don't go to the gym. I work out at home, but I used to go to the gym, and you know, people, you know, usually at the end of the year, they make a decision, New Year's resolution. I'm going to get in shape and join the gym. And that first day, you know, not January 1st, because that's New Year's Day. We're all hungover from the last night. But January 2nd, you wake up and it's like, oh, I don't want to go to the gym. Yeah. And maybe if I just keep my eyes closed, I won't have to get out of bed. And then you finally get out of bed. Yeah. You can't find your sneakers. And there's a million excuses, but you actually make it to the gym. Somehow you get there. And it's hard. It's hard that first day. You go home and you're sore. And the second day it's hard. The third day it's hard. But after about 3 weeks, you start to get into a pattern.
Yes.
And, oh, you know what? This is getting a little easier and I'm starting to see some results.
Absolutely. You know what? I went to the gym one time and then I told my trainer, I don't want to be here, but I'm here. And he said, I don't want to be here either, Patty, but we're here. So let's get to it. I'm like, okay, that's it.
The other thing I find fascinating is how some people hear something and it drives them down, and others people, it makes them stronger. Like your dad told you, you're never going to amount to anything. Some people hear that and they're like, oh yeah, I'll show you. And they become incredibly successful just to prove to somebody that they were wrong.
Right. Most people though, and you said something and I wanted to address that. You said like, I don't care about people, you know, whoever likes me, and that's amazing. I'm in the same boat, but it took me many years of work and therapy and unpacking stuff to be able to say that. And so I understand people that, you know, they might say that, but reality is they do care, and they're broken when they get a bad comment, and they're broken when they don't get the phone calls answered. So I know it's the ideal way to do it, but sometimes it takes a lot of work.
Patty, I've spent tens of thousands of dollars and hundreds of hours in seminar rooms with experts like you, just eating up everything to become the best version of myself.
Good for you.
Because that's my goal. And again, I was very blessed to meet this coach that I worked with. She, of all the years I spent and all the money I spent in sitting in seminar rooms, working with this woman once a week for an hour made the biggest difference in my life. The interesting thing to me, and she would tell you this if she was here right now, is she starts out every coaching conversation before she agrees to be your coach with, look, if you're coming to me to make more money, don't bother. I'm not here to help you make more money. Yeah. I'm here to help you be the best version of yourself. But she also ended it with, by the way, you will make more money by working with me. 100% true. My life changed in so many ways out of the discussions that I had with this woman, including fixing my broken relationship with my ex-wife, which was miserable for years and years.
Yeah.
Went into stand-up comedy after being told my whole life, oh, you should be a stand-up comedian. I mean, just amazing things, because sometimes you just need somebody who is willing to say the things that you don't want to hear to help you be the person you want to be. Yeah,
absolutely.
Is there a cycle to procrastination?
Yeah, definitely. So what? No one does things only one time. If you see people's action, generally there's a pattern to it. It's not the first time they do it. It's not the last time we do it. And same with us. So the procrastination goes around. And it starts with anxiety. Then we replace it with pleasure. And then after pleasure comes guilt. And after the guilt, even more anxiety. So I used to repeat this cycle every day in different areas of my life. And we were talking about this before. Once you do that over and over, you become angry at yourself and disappointed at yourself, because it's not like, oh, I didn't know what to do. You know exactly what to do. But when you don't do it, you're guilty. You feel guilty and you're disappointed at yourself. And that shows up in everything you do or don't do. So that is it. It's a matter of realizing what the cycle is, and then making a stop, take one step. What am I going to do about it? And it might be that your step is to go back to therapy or to go to therapy or to find a coach that will help you unpack this stuff. And by the way, a coach that doesn't have a coach is not the best coach. I have a coach as well, because I'm not there yet. I want to keep growing and keep, you know, getting the best version of myself. So I completely agree with you and your coach. Money is just a consequence of you being the best. But that is it. It's just once you know, you notice you're in a cycle of procrastination, is awareness. What am I going to do with it? And then take the step.
And you gave us the definition of procrastination, putting things off. Are there different types of procrastination?
Yeah. Yes. But basically, the five types of procrastination, Perfectionist,
Oh.
the ostrich, the daredevils, the self-saboteurs,
And my favorite,
and
the chicken.
the chickens, doers, 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 doers. Yes. So you see, there's a pattern to everything we do. And you know what? When I was growing up with ADD, I didn't understand what I would forget my homework every day or my bag somewhere or the appointments when I was an adult. My sister used to say, I cannot believe a human being would forget an appointment. I'm like, I don't know, I just forgot it. And then when I went to a psychiatrist and she's like, what do you mean? You have a very, very chronic ADD. I told my family, you see, I told you there was a problem with me. So the thing is, once you start digging in types of procrastination and all that, you realize you're not the only one. There's a lot of people struggling with exactly the same type of things, which is the good news because there've been studies and there's enough information to be able to address it and to change it.
It's so funny you say that because just last Tuesday we had our meeting. It's my group coaching community meets twice a month on Tuesday nights. And the other night I was talking to someone and she was telling me what was going on. I said, oh, you're the only person that happens to. Wait a minute. No, you're not. You're not alone. You're not the only person that gets ghosted. You're not the only person that doesn't have enough appointments. You're not the only person who's not closing enough business. And while it doesn't change things to know that, it does feel better to know, oh, I'm not the only idiot or moron or, you know, all the things that we say to ourselves. Because when we realize it's not just us, it kind of empowers us and gives us a chance to take action and actually change it.
Absolutely.
And I'm definitely the daredevil, but I think I'm not sure why I like the chicken best. I think it's because just of the way you say it. It sounds better than the chicken. I love it.
And by the way, Jeff, I'm going to, I don't know if we talked about this, but I'm going to do something special. I'm going to send you a link and everyone listening to this with a quiz that will show you what type of procrastinator you are. Is a very simple, we can just put it, you know, as a link somewhere when you post this. So if you're intrigued and you're out there and you're like, oh, maybe I am, you can just take the quiz and it'll tell you the results.
And I believe that's actually on your website, isn't it?
That's on my website. That's right.
Yeah. Well, in a couple of minutes before we end this, I'm going to share your information with everybody and I'll ask you to let everybody know how to get in touch with you and where they can find the quiz. But before we go, you love traveling, right? You love traveling.
Yes.
What do you love about traveling so much?
So I grew up thinking, you know, most of my family, they grew up in Colombia, lived in the same house for 50 years and died, married the next door neighbor. And I always grew up thinking I would love to see the places that I was learning at school or not learning at school. You know, like, oh my goodness, this is so far away. And I was like, someday. My life used to be a someday type of life. Yeah, but when I discovered that I actually was able to take control of my life and I could live the life that I wanted to live, then I thought, you know what? I like traveling. I'm going to travel. And the reason I like to travel is obviously I like history. I like places. I love people. I love different cultures. So for me to go from, I just spent a few months in Asia and to see the way they think so differently from, you know, Eastern Europe that I went to a trip before that is fascinating. So I love the way you're thinking. I love food. I'm a foodie 100%. I'm super adventurous with food. So I just, you know, have a choice now, Jeff. I have a choice of the life I want to live. I tell people one of my favorite words is to be empowered. And empower means with power. And you only have power when you have control. Control of your thoughts, control of your emotions, control of your time, control of your actions, control of your future. So that's what I'm doing. I'm choosing the type of life I want to live, and it's helping others and traveling the world. So there you go.
I love that. And I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of days ago, and he was asking me what was going on. I just happened to mention, I met this amazing lady, and it was perfect timing because my guest for the week canceled, and I'm going to do a training, but I met her, and I fell in love. She's fantastic. Can't wait. He goes, oh, let's look her up on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's do that. And all of a sudden, there's Patty in Kuala Lumpur, and there's I'm like, holy crap, she's everywhere I want to go and haven't done it. And again, I'm like a heck of a lot older than you are. And I think I need to plan a trip to Malaysia soon.
There you go. Absolutely loved it.
What's your favorite place you've ever traveled to?
Oh, my goodness. So I'm going to tell you, every time that I talk to my mother and my sister, I'm like, oh, this is the best country I've ever visited. I could live here. And they're like, Patty, you always say the same thing of every country. I'm like, God, what can I do? I like it all. But because you've asked, I think out of this year, my favorite so far, and I know it's crazy, it's Myanmar. Myanmar is a very small country in Southeast Asia, and they're in a civil war. So people were like, you shouldn't go, you shouldn't go. Well, I safely took a tour and I went. Oh my goodness, it's just a gorgeous country. The people are humble. The food is delicious. It's just magical. So far this year, Myanmar, but I love Turkey too. I've been to Turkey a few times because I just love it so much.
Yeah, places like that, Myanmar and Vietnam and Laos and all that, Southeast Asia, it's all on my bucket list. And I think after speaking to you, I've got to start booking some trips.
There you go. I'm going to check your Instagram.
You'll be very bored with mine. Patty, I'm going to share my screen right now. Some people are watching us live and they'll be able to see this. But for the people who will be hearing this in about a week on a podcast, could you let people know how to reach you if they're interested in working with you or if they want to take that test?
Yes, absolutely. So I love text messages because for me, it's very direct and I will respond to you right away. If you listen to this and you're like, oh my goodness, I would like to talk to you, Patty, let's sit down. Let's see what ways I can help you. I'm happily to have a complimentary sit down with you via Zoom. So you can text me at 813-789-1097. 813-789-1097. My favorite phrase is, I'm in. So if you're in for a consultation, just text it. I'm in and tell me your names and we'll just figure out a common time. If you want to go to my website, you can go stopprocrastinatingtoday.com. Stopprocrastinatingtoday.com. Once you go to my website, there's a little part that says take a free quiz on your type of procrastinator. And then you can just click there. It'll take less than a minute and then you'll figure out what type of procrastinator you are. And then if you want to reach out after, we'll talk about it and then just have some fun with it.
And do not go to PattyJohnston.com, which I did because that's a different Patty Johnston. I'm sure she's a lovely and wonderful person, but it's not this Patty Johnston. You'll be procrastinating all day if you go to that other website.
Stop procrastinating to that.com. That's my life. And that's what I do for a living, help people to overcome procrastination so that they can actually be the best they can be. So I just look forward to talking to some of you.
That's fantastic. Any final words of wisdom before we go?
Actually, dreams are amazing. Action brings abundance. Dreams are amazing, but action brings abundance. Go and make it happen. If you don't know how, if you feel stuck, reach out to me. But action is what's going to bring you what you need to be and where you need to be at. So well done for being here.
Well, you are just perfect because you just said something that I say at the end of every one of these broadcasts. And before I say it, you're delicious. Thank you so much for sharing your brilliance generously with us. I've enjoyed every second of it. And I'm so glad that we met this week. And I will end as I always do. Please remember that sales is a game of making things happen. So get out there and make sales happen. Thank you so much, Patty. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next time.
Thank you so much.